So the reading this morning is from Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9, and that can be found on page 158. They travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and made many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived.
May I ask you to have your Bibles open for this reading? We're going to come to a verse that I think many of us will have known from childhood. I think probably is probably the first verse I ever learnt as a child going to church. So what I'd like us to do, I'm going to read the bulk, but then at verse 16, if we could all join in to read those two verses, that would be great. We can sing if you like. So it's John chapter 3, 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee and man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, but no one could perform the signs that you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." So if together we can now read the last two verses. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to God's word, shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word, living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us this morning and make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That first reading from Numbers describes the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites after the Exodus until some 38 years later, when they're on the point of entering into the Promised Land. Time after time, they murmured and rebelled. Numbers 14:4, we read, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." But I want to focus this morning on the episode of the bronze snake, yet another in the long list of rebellions. As the Israelites are traveling around Edom, 21:4, the people became impatient along the way. Impatience can be a devastating sin that is the gateway to committing many other sins. Malice, anger, selfishness, slander. Can you remember how impatience led you into greater problems and sins? One of the early lessons of the book of Exodus was that the people of Israel needed to learn God's direction. We go back, I'll just quote Exodus 13, 17 and 18. "And Pharaoh let the people go. God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. It was the shortest. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people round by the desert road towards the Red Sea." Now, this second generation needs to learn this truth. But the problem from our reading gets bad. Numbers 21:5. People spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." The complaint is similar to that we read further back in Numbers 11, 1-6, when the people say they can no longer stand manna. So they make their complaint against God and Moses. They've been brought into the wilderness to die. They do not have food or water. They loathe the food that God has supplied. This might be the worst part of their complaint. They hate their God-given circumstances and blessings. And now these Israelites complain about God's provision. And in 21 verse 6, we read that God responds by sending fiery serpents that bite the people, and many died. And look at the response of the people in verse 7. They confess that they have sinned by speaking against God and Moses. The people ask Moses to pray that the Lord will take away the poisonous snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Moses continuing to act as the intercessor for the people. But notice that the answer from God is not to take away the poisonous snakes. Rather, the Lord tells Moses to make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. Probably a metal snake made of copper so that the reddish looked like fire and would be called a fiery serpent on the pole. Then God says that everyone who is bitten, when they see the serpent on the pole, will live. The snakes are not removed, but an antidote is provided. We might expect God to take away the snake, but this is not the salvation that God offers. Faith is going to be needed for salvation. They're going to believe that looking at the metal pole is going to heal their wound. The people had to believe that God's word for salvation would be effective. Nothing else was going to work, but looking at the metal pole for salvation. Salvation from the snake bite comes by faith. So no one can boast in their healing. We're in the camp. As if wherever they were in the camp, they'd just have to turn their heads. But the camp was very, very large. Well over 1 million people. If you were bitten, you'd have to walk to the bronze serpent and look at it for healing. The people knew where the pole was, and faith in God's word would have them walk to the pole for rescue. You see, the thing that stood between life and death was the crucial symbol. What's the message? Well, on the surface, it looks like yet another example of moaning Israelites. But the New Testament reveals there are a number of shadows and pictures of redemption in this event. First, what we see in the wilderness is amazing, because God does not take away the serpents, which would seem to be the obvious solution. But you see, here there is a picture of redemption that God is teaching. The people were going to be bitten. The people were going to have the venom going through their body. The people were going to die in their present condition. God doesn't change that, but he offers the antidote. You have to look at the bronze serpent, and you will live. The people needed to believe that God would heal them. If by faith they turned to the serpent on the pole, the people were required to take the Lord at his word through faith. And what is interesting is that God uses the image of death and makes it the image of life. The fiery serpent was going to be their death, yet this image, which looked on by faith, would be their life. And Jesus speaks to this event in John chapter 3, our second reading. John chapter 3, verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So what is the impact of this Bible passage today? Let me read you the testimony of a Jewish man called Bernard Howard. This is his testimony. At the start of my search for meaning, I was 13. I'd had my bar mitzvah, the Jewish coming of age ceremony. Outwardly, everything had gone smoothly. I had recited a portion of the Jewish Bible to a synagogue full of supportive people. But the preparation process hadn't answered the big questions about life. Why am I here? Is there a God? And if so, how can I be sure that he exists? What is the point of life if we all end up buried and forgotten? He goes on. This last question particularly gnawed at me. Life seemed like writing a book with a special ink that will one day fade into nothingness. Why write the book if the ink will disappear? Why throw yourself into life with its hopes and sweat and tears of sadness and joy when death will make it all meaningless? I was hunting for answers. So when the boys at school advertised their Christian group, I decided it was worth a try. The guest speaker gave a talk on one verse from the Bible. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Our second reading. The speaker said that when Jesus was lifted on the cross, he made it possible to live forever. He explained that when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were plagued by venomous snakes, our first reading. Moses fixed a bronze snake to a pole and told the Israelites that if they were bitten, they could look at the snake on the pole and they would live. The speaker said that our wrongdoing is more serious in God's eyes than a lethal snake bite. But Jesus was willingly nailed to a cross to solve the problem by receiving the punishment of other people's sin. All we need to do is look and live. He concludes, I immediately knew that eternal life would transform everything for me, but one matter still had to be addressed. I went up to the speaker afterwards and said, I'm Jewish. Suppose this isn't for me. He replied, Jesus himself is Jewish. He's the Jewish Messiah, the one the Jews were waiting for. If you follow him, you will be following your own Messiah. It was extremely reassuring that I could still be Jewish and believe in Jesus. I began following Jesus that evening and gratefully received the gift of eternal life. See, when I was 20, you know, we have a lovely family, but we didn't do Jesus and we didn't do church. On my 20th birthday, after a terrible hockey accident, I was guided to look at the cross. With no Christian background, as far as I know, at all. And as this was so important for this Jewish boy called Bernard Howard, so this was brought me to faith. Let me explain. That's Jesus on the cross. On either side, a criminal, under the law of the day, deserved to die. This man on this side, you can read it later at the end of Luke 23, he's cursing and swearing. But ladies, you'll know that men and pain are not a good mix. We scratch our fingers and we go to A&E, ladies. So I understand this man. I don't have a problem. Jesus, you call yourself your king, get us down. Something like that. But this man on the other side, completely different. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what Jesus said to him? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus never told lies. For that promise to be fulfilled, he died in his place. He actually died for both of them. One said no, one said yes. Now, I'm a fairly straightforward Yorkshireman, but when I understood that, I gave my life to Christ, because I'm not that thick. Some people say, well, I think I'll sit on the fence. And I say to them, there isn't one. Yes or no? Decide to die without Christ, you die without Christ. Decide to live for Christ, you'll die with him. But he died in your place and he's the Son of God. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone, Jewish, me, Yorkshireman, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And it may be that is good news to some of you this morning. And you have a choice. There isn't a fence. It's yes or no. And it may be that when you've thought this through and enjoyed a communion service, which again reminds us of the cross, maybe it's time for you to make a decision. You may want to speak afterwards to James or another member of the congregation that you know well. You may want to come and see me. It may be that you want to think this through in the week and then say, can I have a coffee? I need to sort this out. But don't mess about. It's too important. Let's pray together. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. Lord, we thank you for this amazing grace. Help us to kneel at the foot of the cross and give our lives to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.